Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the beauty of it. My brother has already said it's a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful day outside. And Lord, the weather is just, it's very near to being perfect. The Lord is the great and the most blessed and wonderful thing, and the most perfect thing is the love that you have towards us and your people everywhere, and the mercy by which you have dealt with us all of our lives, and the grace that has been extended in the time that you sent forth the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Jesus, to regenerate, make us new, and bring us into your kingdom. Help us, O Father. Give us the grace that we need to say thank you and mean it. Understand what a great thing it is, regardless of what else, Father, is in this world. What else happens, it doesn't really matter. All that really counts is that you have known us in Christ, brought us out of that darkness that we were in, and it put us into the kingdom of light, which is yours and has been forever and will be forevermore. Help us today then to put aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking in unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame. But now he sits at thy right hand in the heavens. Someday, because you have sent forth his Spirit into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, we will sit there with Jesus. We'll sit there, and Lord, all it will be is just pure worship. Day after day after day, as we would think of it now, but actually there'll only be one day, so there'll be no night there. There'll be no sun to mark the time. All it will be is eternity and the blessedness of seeing thee and adoring thee and worshiping thee. Give us today, until that time, give us a spirit of joy in the Holy Ghost. Blessing and honor and praise to thy name. And we would remember, Sister Joyce, I don't know what your will is towards her as far as the church is concerned, but we miss her and we love her. And Lord, we just desire the best, your blessing upon her. No, Lord, we do pray. It is right and good that we pray for our children, for our grandchildren, for those of our own household. And Lord, we do desire their salvation. But we also bow to your will, knowing that thou art a just God. It can do no wrong. And Lord, as we have already spoken, whatever sin is committed is because of the nature that abides within. And Lord, even ourselves, is because of the corruption of the flesh, this mortality. Lord, your righteousness is immortality, sin is mortality. It is only through your sovereign mercy that we've been brought to see our sin, repented, and come to thee in faith and love. And make manifest more and more, both to the praise and honor and glory of your name. And thank you again for these great hymns of faith. What a blessing it is to us. And then, Father, there's the work by which we're saved and sanctified and glorified. So as that word comes forth, help us in the quietness of our minds and the quietness of our hearts to just rejoice in giving thanks always to you for your wisdom and knowledge that is imparted to us, that we might know thee indeed, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. In his name we see us. Amen.
Amen. If you're there, don't you think that devil is at work now? I'm going to say, yeah, more than ever, he knows time is short.
Amen.
And he's busy.
Right.
But also, it's the Lord's devil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way he asked us. Satan, where you been? He said, I've been down through the earth looking around.
Yeah.
But he put the meets and bounds on him so that he don't go any further than the Lord.
Amen.
Allows him to go.
Right.
Puts the jaws of Leviathan.
Yeah.
We'll go back to the 20th chapter of the book of Ezekiel again this morning. I guess we're reading verse 9, beginning it again. But I wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted before the heathen among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them, and bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. Wherefore, I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt, and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes. And I showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. I think I mentioned last Sunday that surely that's so.
Yeah.
Man will live in them. He may not fulfill them all the way to every jot and tittle like our Lord, but we're always growing toward that, being separated out from other people.
Yeah.
And what we fail to fulfill, we look to the Lord in faith. That's what faith is. Mm-hmm. We look to him to fulfill the law. Said, moreover, also I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctified them, or that sets them aside from other people. And he said, but the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness, and they walk not in my statutes, and they despise my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in me. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. It was promised, wasn't it? He fulfilled it also. because they set about to establish their own righteousness.
Yeah.
Which is the very nature of man. He's not going to be told what to do, especially by the Lord himself. Rebellion is his very nature. The reason he went out and got him some fig leaves to start with, try to cover it up. And continue on in the same way he was going. In the 44th chapter, the end of the book of Ezekiel, the Lord made the Sabbath for man, not the man for the Sabbath. And that's interesting. In that it was set aside as a day to rest from all our labors, and especially from religious labor.
Yeah.
I think especially that. When I think about the Lord and his disciples coming through the cornfield and they begin to pick the corn, and eat some of it. Nowhere in the law did it say don't gather some corn and eat it on Sunday or Sabbath. But it offended the scribes and the Pharisees. Well,
hypocrites.
You're doing this against the law.
Yeah.
And yet, they were within their rights to eat if you're hungry. Because the law didn't restrict that.
No.
The strict letter of law just said don't do any work on Sunday. But it didn't say don't do anything physical or don't do anything spiritual or this or that, but be ye spiritual. Do this. Do this. You live in the law. But not to the extent that they set forth and corrupted it with their own ideas. In the 23rd verse of the 44th chapter, and said, they shall teach my people the difference. What is the difference is what is legal and what is not. What is clean and what is not.
Mm-hmm.
What is unclean. Now teach my people. And it's restricted here too. To my people.
Oh yeah.
He said the difference between the holy and the profane. And cause them to discern between unclean and clean. Well, let's judge this. Was it all right to get some corn and eat it on Sunday because he's starving to death?
Yeah.
Not good.
Hardly. And it said, and in controversy, they shall stand in judgment. Now, he's talking here about the priest. Now somebody might say, well, this is Old Testament stuff, but who is the priestly tribe today?
Yeah.
We're it.
It's us.
And in controversy, they shall stand in judgment. We ought to have good judgment about these things. Would we take our brother to the land's court of law? No. We wouldn't do that. We'd carry him before the church.
Yeah.
To be judged by people that have their sanity.
Right.
That have common sense, we might say today. If they have any sense at all about spiritual things, It's common sense. It makes sense.
Yeah.
And in controversy, they shall stand in judgment. Well, you're going to judge. And they say, oh, well, I'm not judge. But yeah, we must judge. We must judge. If we the people of God, we must judge.
That's true.
What is clean and what is unclean. What is holy and what is unholy. And they shall judge it according to my judgments. Well, we've got to have something to judge by.
That's right.
Have to have the law. And that's what this is from beginning to end. This Bible is the law of God. This hand to hand. And if we call it the gospel,
yeah,
according to my judgments, they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all mine assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths. It's a holy day. Well, it didn't mean we couldn't get up this morning and drive down here.
Well, you couldn't have according to the scribe and the Pharisee.
Right. We'd had to stay home. Couldn't drive.
Can't somebody close
it to you? We certainly couldn't have packed no lunch to come.
No.
And they shall have my Sabbath. Keep them holy. Judge between what is clean and what is unclean. That's what the church is for. That it might teach us the judgment. The judgments of God. That we might judge between the clean and the unclean. That we might use the proper judgment, which is God's, that He has established for His church, for His people. Some say, well, the church just began at Pentecost, and that's not so. It began in the very beginning.
Amen.
See, call a solemn assembly. That didn't just happen lately.
Right. No.
Keep it holy. That's why he's talking about call a solemn assembly.
Right.
Keep it holy. Judge that it is holy. And said, they shall come at no dead person to defile themselves but for father or for mother or for son or for daughter or brother or for sister that hath had no husband, may they, that they may defile themselves, and after he cleanses them they shall reckon unto him 7 days to be clean. Must be a washing. Even today there must be a washing. That's the reason the church is
the water.
Yeah.
Water by the word. Yeah.
Right. Got to be clean. Got to have proper judgment. Judge what's clean and unclean. We live among dead people.
Amen.
Touch not the dead thing. We're separate people. That's what they sanctified means. We're separated out. Like the Israelite people, they were called out people. I brought you out of Egypt. Not everybody.
Right.
Israel.
Right.
So he is particular about who he gives the law to. The judges. And he still is particular today who has the light to see what is the judgment of God.
That's true.
With no light, it doesn't matter what this word says.
No.
because they just don't get rid of it anyway. They say, well, it can't mean that.
Right.
Well, maybe not. But you better be careful what you judge and how you judge. It must be proper means. And after he is cleansed, they shall reckon on him 7 days. And then we begin anew. I think that's one reason we meet on Sunday, first day of the week. It's reckoned as being a new day,
amen,
a new week, a new time,
yes,
a new beginning,
yes,
a new setting forth of what is right. And the church was established that it might teach its people. In the book of Isaiah, the 56th chapter, in verse 1, it said, thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice. For my salvation is years to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this. Well, that's that same thing, isn't it? Live in this. And the Son of Man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I'm a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs, and that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better as of sons and of daughters. And I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. The Lord, which gathereth the outcast of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. It's going to be a second gathering. And it's not one when the Lord comes back in millennial reign, but it's one in split of time, before the Lord came and after he came. He's going to gather all of them into one body.
Right.
Call them unto one church, that they might be instructed in the things of righteousness, that they might judge between the clean and the unclean.
Yeah.
They might have great understanding. 58th chapter then of Isaiah. I guess in verse 12. And it said, and they shall be of these, and they that shall be of these shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repair of the breach, restorer of the past to dwell in.
Amen.
If they turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, now be careful how you read this. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure, might read it like this, if thou turn from doing thy pleasure, your foot from doing thy pleasure.
Right.
That's what it really means. On my holy day and call a Sabbath of delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, or fanning thine own pleasure, nor speaking thy own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, my father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Sounds pretty sure, doesn't it?
Amen.
If you live in my statutes,
yeah,
to keep them, and we live in it by faith, the right faith of Jesus Christ.
Right. Amen.
I think it's the most misunderstood thing that we have in the world today is faith. Because all men have a measure of faith in themselves to do what they want to do. But they don't have any measure of the faith of Jesus Christ, which is a totally different thing. And it's a devilish doctrine that they have chosen to put forth that a man can just of his own faith,
right,
do anything.
Right.
He can't make a move unless the Lord allows it. It's like the devil.
Right. Amen.
The people are the Lord's. He do with them whatever he wants to.
Amen.
So it's a devilish doctrine. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. Now cause thee to ride upon the places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob. That's what it's all about. That's what the Sabbath is all about. That's what it was always all about. That it might be a day to lay down your own thoughts and think upon the Lord. It might be a new day, each self new beginning, to think totally upon the Lord. And these things are to be taught on Sabbath as the judges. God's judges. Learn to judge. He set forth both right and wrong. We see it all. If we've got any light in us,
yeah,
we definitely can see both sides. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, in verse 10, and he said, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, gifts.
Yeah.
And out of these gifts arises love for the Lord. Set for the perfecting, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what the Sabbath is for.
Yeah.
And the Lord gave these gifts to men that they might perform. It's a ministry unto the Lord for the perfecting of the saints.
Yeah.
Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Over in the fifth chapter, verse 25, he says, husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the Word. So what more could you want on the Sabbath day than to be clean?
Yeah.
Be made clean. Can you give us a word that it might do that? And he gave men gifts that they might see the Word and that they might proclaim it to his people, that it might build them up in their holy faith, that they might serve the Lord acceptably from Sabbath to Sabbath.
Biggest mistake, or one of the biggest mistakes that's made today is thinking that the law has been done away with.
Yeah,
it's not done away with. If when we're saved, we're not free from the law in the sense that it no longer exists. But what we are, we're free to serve God in the Spirit and the righteousness of that law.
Amen.
And it will be that way forever.
Amen.
It's never going to stop.
It can't.
Because that law is the reflection of God Himself.
Amen.
And so it's going to go on and on and on. Lord willing, next Lord's Day, we're going to start a series. I don't know how long or how far it'll go, but we're going to start a series on the Ten Commandments. So, pray about that.
The Ten Commandments.
But that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that should be holy and without blemish. I was reading some quotes from some of the old redeemed saints. And one of them was talking about judgment. And he was saying that, if I can quote it, a man cannot die as a sinner and be received as a saint at the greatest size that day of judgment. And we talked about that quite a bit here. We're not sinners.
Amen.
In the classic sense of that word. We're just not sinners anymore.
Right.
We're saints.
Confusing most people.
Well, it may be confusing to most people, but it's still the truth.
Yeah.
And they need to understand that.
I forget how many of the New Testament books actually are addressed to the saints, but a number of them are.
Yeah, I think all of the apostles. Models, books.
It might be his. I charted it once.
I can't say that absolutely because I've never really just sat down and counted them. But I know at least the vast majority of his writings always begin with to the saints.
Mm-hmm. To the saints or to the church.
Even those saints of Corinth. And again, most people have a problem with thinking those people at the church at Corinth as saints,
right?
Because of all that went on there. But the point is that they repented.
They took refuge.
And that's all that there's only the saints that will do that.
Amen.
So, I mean, we need to get this thing straight. Also, talking about the Sabbath, it seems like that nearly, as you read, I mean, everything centers in the Sabbath. How many times do we need to read that to understand that? Now, again, as J.T. pointed out, I mean, there's man's traditions, right? But then there's God's law. They're two different things. Man's tradition would have them to be sinners because they plucked that corn and ate it on the Sabbath day. First of all, they probably shouldn't have been walking through that cornfield anyway. Under the strictness of the scribes and Pharisees, but
yes, it'd been traveling. They was hungry.
So, but you know, the Lord rebuked them sharply. To go and understand what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. May God then help us more and more to understand and have a true spirit of worship and service, and a true spirit of making the Sabbath holy.
It's interesting that there's that car dealership. I can't remember which one it is, but you know, car dealers cannot be open 7 days a week.
Yeah.
So what he does is he opens up another lot, and it's open on Sunday, but his first lot is closed on Sunday. So to get around it, for his own gain, that's how he does it, and that's how men think.
That's the one that Michael Berry is so fond of.
Right. Right, it is.
It's a double standard, huh?
Well, it's a way of getting around the law. Yeah, you can't. So.
Yeah, we've done it over there.
We're righteous on the right hand and unrighteous on the left.
We took care of our parents, so we can't give none more.
A lot of times it's the fact that we just don't want to hear what he says.
That's right.
He says it, but we just don't want to hear it that way. We want to think that there's some different way, and that there's a problem there, but there's no problem except within us.